We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Majority Leader, if the current president of the state Senate, Teresa Piva-Weed, decides to leave that position at some point, would you be interested in succeeding her?
At this moment, I am a strong and ardent supporter of Senator Teresa Piva-Weed. I think she's done an outstanding job as the Senate president and even before as the majority leader. However, if she were to decide not to run again, I would be interested in that spot.
And have you and President Piva-Weed had any discussion about this and about whether she will seek another term as Senate president in 2017?
No, we have not.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering, how do you think Mayor Alorza is doing in Providence?
I think Mayor Alorza is doing a good job. I think he has some issues that are a little difficult for him at this point. One of those issues being the firefighter issue.
Mm-hmm. Did he handle that well, do you think?
I think it could have been handled better. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he handled it badly, but I think if he sat down initially and had some discussions with the firefighters organization, we might have had a different resolution.
I mean, isn't negotiation always better than confrontation in these issues?
We do try. We try to do that. We do a lot of that in the Senate and in the House. But yes, we think it is a little more appealing than confrontation.
The General Assembly session ended in impasse last June because of disagreements over chicken coops and some other not exactly earth-shattering issues. Does that show that the legislative process is too controlled by legislative leaders and takes place too much in back rooms rather than out in the open on the floor of the Senate and the House?
I don't think so. We did pass a number of pieces of legislation. I mean, the budget contained a great deal of legislation that was in legislative form that was incorporated into the budget. So I don't think that our progress was hindered at all by the abrupt adjournment of the legislature this year.
Your home city, Providence, has a large amount of land, a 45% or so in the city, that's not taxable, held by these wonderful nonprofits like colleges and hospitals. How come the legislature can't do more for Providence on payments in lieu of taxes?
Well, we've made some progress in that. And normally what we do, Scott, is we leave that up to the administration in the city of Providence. I sat in on one negotiating session that the city had with Brown University, and I found it very interesting. And ultimately, they ended up with an agreement with Brown. I think that's the way to handle the tax-exempt property owners, because I think they provide a valuable asset to the city of Providence. Brown University, they do some a lot of volunteer work. You know, Rhode Island School of Design, they do contribute in many aspects that the public is not aware of. Mm-hmm. So I think they, because of what they do and because of what they do for the city of Providence, they should be entitled to some kind of tax break. However, I think they should pay their fair share to the city of Providence to assist the city in its budgetary issues.
You're a top administrator with a local branch of the Laborers Union. How do you respond to critics who believe organized labor has too much influence in the state Senate?
I mean, everyone works for somebody. There are a lot of people in business that work at the State House. Is it right to say for them that they can't vote on business issues? Do I think the unions have too much power in the State House? No, I think they once had a tremendous amount of power at the State House, but I don't think that's in existence anymore.
We're talking here with State Senate Majority Leader Dominic Ruggiero, and now back to Scott.
Do you think the Senate would be open to discussing a hybrid plan for financing of road repairs, not just tolls, but maybe a tolling regime, and perhaps raising the diesel tax or truck registration fees, as the industry has said they are willing to discuss?
Well, the industry comes out and they're against any tolls on any basis. So I'm not supportive of a diesel tax or a gasoline tax. I think that'll affect the public in general. I think the vehicles that do the substantial amount of damage are those large vehicles that the administration is targeting to pay the tolls. They do approximately 90% of the damage, mm-hmm. and the rest of the trucks, and we certainly have a provision in the legislation that prohibits any tax on automobiles. any tolls on automobiles. I'm sorry. If you go on the Mass Pike, they toll anything on wheels.
So, yes, they do. It doesn't seem to hurt them.
It doesn't seem to hurt them, and I don't hear anyone complaining that that's anti-business or right. that's against what should be done. I'm a believer in the user fees. I think if you use it, you should pay something for it, and I think tolls are the right way to go, and unfortunately, we didn't do that a long time ago.
You've been a supporter of creating a parking garage on the side of the parking lot behind the Garahey Courthouse. Where does that proposal stand?
That proposal is up and running under the provisions of the legislation. You have to sell two parcels of 195 land in that particular area. So that's ready to go. Josh Miller did a phenomenal job on as chair of that commission in getting that to come to pass. So we're just waiting for the parcels to be sold, and I think that's going to help. It's not only going to help with the parking situation around the 195 area, but it's also going to help with the parking situation at the Garahey Complex.
I'd like to ask you about one other proposal. The Prakashanti Group wants to create a hotel at the Fogarty Building on Fountain Street. The Hotel Workers Union has had some concerns about that. Are you confident that that project is going to move forward?
I believe that that project will move forward. I just have a difficult time with one group trying to stop a project for whatever reason. We need hotels in the city of Providence. And by the way, that's not just going to be a hotel. There's another building that's going to go up that on the Prakashanti property also. So it's not going to be a hotel, but it's kind of a twofer type situation because of the hotel. Once the hotel gets built in, that property will be developed.
Do you know when we might see the Providence City Council vote on that?
I can't give you a time frame, but I think it should be within the next month or so.
It's obvious that we need more hotels in Providence. If you look at the occupancy rates, they're way, way up just in the last year or so. But this has been brought down by a battle between two organized labor groups, the building trades folks and the hotel workers. Where is there a solution to that? You'd think that some of the labor leaders could get together and work out a compromise there so that those people would not insist on a card check and would take an election, the hotel workers folks?
Well, they did apply for an election with the NLRB recently, so right. We're hoping that's going to be the trend for them rather than what we've experienced in the past.
Insisting on the card check.
Yes.
And before we let you go, we have to ask, what are your legislative priorities for the new session starting in January?
My personal priorities is I had a piece of legislation last year that passed the Senate that did not pass the House. Excuse me. This has to do with internships or apprenticeship in non-traditional areas. I'm hoping that we can do something with manufacturing in this state. I think the decrease in electric rates and fuel costs could be helpful in this regard, and I've been working with the manufacturers group to see if we can help them not only in development and bringing some additional manufacturers to the state of Rhode Island, but also helping them as far as filling slots of skilled workers and providing good paying jobs. So that's my initiative, and that's one of my main interests of the upcoming session.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us, Senate Majority Leader Dominic Ruggiero.
Thank you very much for having me, Scott and Ian.